star burns in the darkness, shines with a promise, Emmanuel. One child born in the stillness, living within us, Emmanuel. Hope for the hopeless, Emmanuel. One love brings us together, now and forever, Emmanuel. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace.
One thing this world needs, and that would be peace. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that passes all understanding, that only Christ the Lord can give, as he is our Savior, our God, as we turn over our life to him, because he's the only one that can ultimately bring that right relationship and peace, ultimately, between God and man. And as we sing this next song called His Mercy Is More, it's not necessarily a Christmas song like that last one, but I think it helps us to remember what he did and how his grace, his mercy is just poured upon us when we don't deserve it. So please, I'd love to hear your voices as we sing out together, His Mercy Is More. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Omniscient, all-knowing, he comes up their song, throne in
to a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. So tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood beneath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Is more stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more.
Amen. All right. Yeah. Great. You may take a seat. Thank you so much for joining us as we're going to continue in worship now as we have Dari come up to the stage and he'd like to say a few words.
All right. Thank you. It's my privilege on behalf of the search team to join all of you and us together as we turn a new page. Faith has been through a journey, has it not, the last 2 years? And this is the culmination of that journey and the start of a new one. And so before we turn the page officially, we wanted to take the opportunity to recognize some people within our congregation that have had a key part to play in that. So we're going to give three rounds of robust applause for three different groups of people. And we started, this chapter that we've been through without a senior pastor almost exactly 2 years ago. It was around Christmas Eve, I think, when Pastor Eric resigned. And that started us on a journey and a process to find a new pastor, culminating in today. One of the people who has been here for most of that time that led our early stage of that process, we had a transition team of 12 people, I believe it was, and Pastor Mark led that. And so we are very thankful for all of Pastor Mark's efforts in that. Let's give him a hand. And obviously, Pastor Mark doesn't do it without his wife, Mary. So, Mary, we're thankful for you as well. The first, about a year and a half of that process, there was a group of 12 people, I think it was roughly, that met 12 times, and that was our transition team. and they helped us reflect on where we had been, lay some groundwork for where we were headed. So if you were on the transition team, would you please stand? And we would like as a congregation to recognize those that were as a part of that. Thank you for your dedication to that process. And then after the transition team, that kind of morphed into then a search team, which I had the privilege of serving on and leading. And the Lord brought just the right amount of people, the right amount of skill, knowledge, in order to bring us to where we were today. And so if you were on the search team, would you please stand? We'd also like to recognize your efforts. They met about 23 times throughout this process. The meetings were 90 minutes to 2 to 3 hours. So there's hundreds of hours that went into the meetings. And then outside, we had about 50 total candidates. And now the Lord's brought us to one. And I'm going to invite our lead elder, Robert, up. And he is going to officially present to us the one that Lord has chosen and led us to.
Thank you, family. It was nothing that we did. It was God. If you talk with Josh and listen to stories that he had, we listened. And God chose him. And that's our new pastor, Josh Nelson, his wife Ashley, and their little son, which is back in nursery, which we opened back up today, which is great. So would you welcome as they come up? I'm going to ask Brian Thorstad to come up and the elders, and we're going to pray for Josh and his wife.
Good morning. It's great to see you. Great to meet this guy's wife. My joy to be here this morning. It's been my joy to be a little part of your process and just help you along in this great journey that you've been on. So this is a great day. Here's one verse. Psalm 126, verse 3 says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Amen? So pray with me, will you please? Let's pray. Father, we come to you with hearts full of gratitude for what you have done in these 2 years, the journey that these folks have been on. We are grateful to you. It has been a difficult, dreary, strange year for almost all of us here in the United States, and yet we know that nothing that has happened has taken you by surprise, for you are eternal, immortal, omniscient, omnipotent, sovereign. You are infinitely loving, gracious, merciful, and so much more. You have a perfect plan for your children and your creation, and we are so glad. From eternity, you had good plans for the good things that you would do in these 2 years, and one of them was leading Pastor Mark as he led Faith Community Church through their transition. We are grateful for that, and thank you, Father, for leading Faith Community through their search process and leading Pastor Josh and Ashley as they waited on you. Thank you for all that you have done in this and through this flock, this band of disciples, and now giving them a new leader. And we ask you for Pastor Josh that you would empower his teaching, that you will counsel him in his counseling ministry, that you would equip him for the ministry of equipping the saints. We ask that you would lead him as he seeks to lead this flock by following hard after you. We ask that much fruit would be born through his ministry as he abides in Christ. Make him mighty in prayer. Make him wise beyond his years. Make him unusually secure through his relationship with you. Make him humble in his relationships. Draw him closer to you than he has ever been, and then keep him right there. We pray that you give him sweet, intimate, power-infusing times alone with you that become the source of his life-giving ministry. We pray that you would protect him from the onslaughts of the world and the flesh and the devil. Make him a great husband and father. We pray that these Waupaca years would be the best years ever for Ashley and Elijah, that they would quickly feel very much at home, and that this would be their home for a long time. And we pray for Faith Community Church that these next years with the Nelson family would be the best years ever for this congregation. You've done great things here in the past. We pray for the greatest things to come in the future. May this church experience the manifest presence and power of Christ. May this church know what it means to have Jesus obviously present and actively in charge. May this church know what it means to be led step by step by the Holy Spirit into a powerful disciple-making, life-transforming ministry. We bring these requests with joy and confidence, because we know that we are truly asking in Jesus' name for what Jesus wants. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.
Welcome. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay. Wow. I got to start. Pastor Mark, I'm so grateful for you and for taking care of my new church for 2 years. Your ministry, I'm so grateful. I always will be grateful. Thank you. I needed to write some things down here. I'm typically a more of a free-form kind of guy. Don't always use notes and different things. I was thinking about, they said, make some remarks. Okay. So I decided to write a letter to you. And so this is my letter to you, my new church family. Then after I read this letter, we have the privilege of partaking in the Lord's Supper, communion together. Dear Faith family, today marks a significant step forward for all of us as we enter into a new season of life and ministry together. It is because of the exceptional nature of this day that I must quickly and clearly remind us all, myself included, that it is all and only ever about Jesus. Without our precious Savior, none of this would be possible. In fact, just as the old song says, life itself is only worth living just because he lives. Jesus is alive today, and that changes everything. Paul, in his letters to the Corinthians, described the church as a body. There are many individual members who all play a vital role in the health and life of the church, and yet always only one body, and Jesus is the head. Church family, we must never lose sight of this truth. Jesus is the head of the church, not you, never, ever me. Jesus and Jesus alone. Together, we must keep our priorities straight. We must remember that we have one hope. In John 14:6, Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is our one and only hope for salvation for our sins and eternal life with God. We must never lose sight of our one mission. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. It really is a matter of life and death. We live in a world that is lost and helpless and hopeless without Jesus. Our responsibility and biblical mandate is to carry that good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection to those who are dead and dying spiritually. And finally, we must celebrate the fact that we are one body. It doesn't matter what our backgrounds are, our financial states, or what we even look like. If we put our trust in Jesus, then we belong to him. And if we belong to him, then we also belong to one another. Inasmuch we ought to love, care for, encourage, pray for, and carry one another along. If you are joyful, I want to be joyful alongside of you. If you are weeping, I will weep with you and suffer by your side. We are blessed to have one another. 8 weeks ago, when I came to candidate, God made it abundantly clear that he had graciously orchestrated this whole thing. He has put us together, knit us together, and already he has grown in me a deep love for each and every one of you, his people. I'd be lying to you if I told you I was completely ready for this new and incredible responsibility of being your pastor. The truth is, you ready for it? I have very little confidence in myself. On my own, I fail. On my own, I say the wrong things. On my own, I can do nothing. But I do have absolute, unshakable confidence in my God and my Savior. I know that he will, in his grace, sustain me, grow me, use me, and carry me through. Scripture is clear. Jesus is the good shepherd, and I, as your pastor, am an under-shepherd. My responsibility is to care for his sheep, who he has graciously entrusted to me. This is a responsibility that I do not and never will take lightly. It is my deepest honor to serve and to be used in this way. I would ask that you would please pray for me. Pray that I serve our God well. Pray that I serve you well, his people well. Pray that I will stay humble and meek. Pray that God would be honored in every aspect of my life. Faith family, we're just getting started. I truly believe that God has incredible things in store for us as a church. Let's keep our eyes on him, and let's get to work. And I now have the honor of leading us in communion. And what a special, incredible thing. I turn to Luke chapter 22, and verse 7, it tells us this: then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And you think about that. You think about back in Egypt. The Israelites, they are in slavery. They're in bondage. They are in a foreign land, and they need salvation. They need to be saved. They need freedom from this captivity. And it so is such a good picture. It so perfectly mirrors the spiritual state that the whole world is in without Jesus, in captivity, in bondage, without help, totally and completely needing salvation. And that verse in chapter 22 of Luke, it tells us that it had come the time for the Passover lamb to be sacrificed. And it must remind us that Jesus is that perfect, spotless lamb. Whatever happened in Egypt was just a dim picture of what was to come. And we all know, we've heard it many times, but you know that in Egypt, God had purposed to save his people. And for you and I, because of the great love with which God loves us, God has purposed to save us. But in Egypt, they needed to take this perfect lamb, and they needed to sacrifice this lamb and rub its blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over. That's why we call it Passover, right? And there's this incredible picture of God's grace in the midst of that. And like I said before, it's just simply a picture, a dim picture of what was to come in Jesus Christ. It's because of his blood that we can have freedom. It's because of his blood that the chains of sin can fall off of us. It's because of his perfect, spotless sacrifice. The fact that he substituted himself, that he went to the cross on our behalf. What a special thing. And this is not something that we can ever run past. If you're used to doing communion quickly, sorry. I'm not going to do that. Because we need to sit here for a moment. We need to recognize just how momentous an occasion each and every time we partake together. It's a big deal. This is a memorial service, and it's also a celebration all wrapped into one. We have freedom in Christ. We have life because of his death. Wow. God is good, isn't he? And so Jesus, he's there in the upper room, and he takes these elements, this bread and the juice, the cup, the wine, whatever you want to call it. He takes these elements, and they're common. And I love that they're just so common. I love that they would just always be on the table at Passover. He takes them and he gives them new meaning. And isn't that just like Jesus? He takes something ordinary and makes it extraordinary. He takes something that you would just kind of look over and he gives it brand new meaning. And he takes the bread and he's talking with his disciples and he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. And just think about that for a moment. Jesus endured the pain of the cross for you, for me. He went to a criminal's cross. He suffered physically. His body was literally broken for you and for me. That's not to even mention the spiritual pain that he endured as well, taking on the sins of the world, past, present, and future. Took on your sins and mine. Think about that person that you know, in traffic getting here. You know, maybe they're going a little too slow. Think about those words that you said to them in your mind. Jesus died for that. Think about last night and maybe the attitude you have. Jesus died for that. Jesus died for you and for me. Each and every single day, we need to recognize that. Each and every single day, we can't take that for granted. He endured for us. And so, if you want to take your packets here, and we're going to do this together. And I got to remind you, I got to really, really emphasize that what we're about to do, there's nothing mystical about it. It's not this process that we partake, and as it enters into our mouth, there's something just supernatural, mystical that happens. No, this is a memorial service. We're doing this to remember what Jesus has already done for us. Jesus died once for all. And so as we do this, let's think about Jesus. Let's think about his sacrifice for us. Let's recognize that, as Paul talks about in his letter to the Corinthians, he's so specific in his caution. He says, when you do this, don't take it lightly. When you do this thing, make sure that you're in right relationship with your brothers and your sisters. Make sure you're in right relationship with God. Because if not, you're heaping on condemnation on yourselves. If Paul would say that to the Corinthians, this isn't something we just do out of rote routine. This is special because we're remembering our Savior. This is special because we're focusing on our Lord. And so Jesus, he gave thanks. He broke the bread. He gave his disciples and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came physically, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us for our sake, and for all that who believe in him have the right to become children of God. Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you for Jesus going to the cross on our behalf, enduring the pain of torture and death. We thank you that he died so that we can have life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And then he took the cup. And again, something that would have just been there on the table, but he takes it and he gives it new meaning. And in Hebrews, we can read some really interesting things. In Hebrews, we read about how without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. But then, in that same section, it goes on and it tells us that the blood of animals, the blood of bulls, it can't take away sins. There's only one blood that can make us white as snow. There's only one blood that can purify. There's only one blood that can make us clean. There's only one blood that can take away our sins, and that's our Savior's. And so he spilt his blood. He shed his blood for you and for me. And again, I really hope that we're not just taking this for granted. Let's recognize how special of a thing this is. So as we partake in a minute here, I'm going to ask that we just have a minute where it's just silent, where we're just talking to God. Because so often when somebody's up with a microphone and starts praying, what do? We just listen to them, right? But while this is a corporate thing that we're doing, communion, we're doing it together, there's also a personal aspect to it, right? There's also that element of you and your personal faith in Jesus. So we'll partake of this, and there'll be a quick time of silence where you just talk to God, just you and him. You talk about your relationship with him. You talk about how grateful you are for all that he's done. And you ask him to help you, to give you the strength to live for him today and the next day and the next. So at the table, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you for that blood that is our victory. We thank you that Jesus changed everything. God, we thank you that Jesus spilt his blood for us, that he died for us, that he rose again. He didn't stay dead. He completely conquered sin and death. He lives today so that we can live. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to not just be okay with just getting by. Lord, give us the strength to live lives that would please you, that would honor you, to live lives that reflect everything that Jesus has done for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
laid on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost.
Let's sing it out.
But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and our life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever. And my life began when death was arrested, and my life began.
Amen. All right. We have a special treat this morning. We're going to ask Pastor John Payne to come up and give the message for us.
Well, good morning. It's great to see such a great group of people here this morning. The song that we just sang talks about hope. I don't know of a word that is needed maybe as much for today as the word hope. And where do you go for hope? It's where you find freedom. It's where you find grace. Receiving something that you do not deserve. And you go to Jesus, right where your pastor took you to start his first Sunday officially, or first start of a communion to take you to Jesus. And friend, this morning, if you need hope, if you need freedom, you'll find that in the grace of Jesus Christ, who came so that you might have life. And not just existence, but life that is abundant. Anybody here want abundant life? Who wants existence? You know, we have enough of existence, right? An abundant life that is offered to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And let me encourage you today, if you're looking for hope, don't leave here this morning without knowing hope is found in a person, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. Well, I was here in December, late November of 2018 to meet with your elders to talk about with Dr. Ken Moberg, who serves on our team, about interim pastoral ministries. And then they said, well, why don't you come back and preach and do a Q&A? So the first Sunday of 2019, I was able to come here with the chairman of our board, and he answered questions because he'd been a chairman of one of our churches that had just gone through an IPM process. And that was reminded this morning, Robert, when you were talking about the time frame, I said, that was 2 years. And I praise the Lord. I made a commitment to Pat when he was the chairman of the elders. I said, every time I drive by on Highway 10, I'm going to be praying for you guys. So my wife was with me a couple weeks ago, and we were going down 10, and I said, oh, we're going by the exit. We got to pray for Faith Community. And then we're on the way back, and I said, your turn. We got to pray for Faith Community. We're going the other way, going home. And so we've been praying every time I go up and down Highway 10, praying for this church family. And I believe God has answered prayer. And I'm so grateful and so thankful and so excited about your future. Let me quickly just say, the second page of my notes here, there's a charge that I'm going to be giving, but let me just thank you for being part of the Forest Lakes District. 4 years ago when I became district superintendent, we had 99 churches. By God's grace, we're up to 141 churches. And God's just doing some incredible things. And you're part of that. You're part of this. There was a video that went out to all of the EFCA this last week about a church in Milwaukee called You Flourish, which is a multicultural church, which it's on our website, or it will be this week. I'd encourage you to go watch that. But there's a whole network of multicultural churches in the Racine to Milwaukee band that we believe in the next 5 years, God's going to be producing churches like crazy down there. And boy, does Milwaukee need Jesus? Amen. Yeah, right. Well, everywhere needs Jesus, right? But so you're part of that. We want to say thank you for being part of what God's doing around our district. I never try and travel alone, and I have with me today Rob Wisey, who's on our staff team who oversees districts and student ministries and events, and Rob's here, and then our new associate district superintendent, Jordan Huffman, is here. He's starting his 6 month in there December 1st, and so they're both here. I'd encourage you to say hi and get a chance to interact with them before we leave today over cupcakes. I saw the cupcakes. I didn't steal one. I saw them, but I didn't steal one, so... Well, let's jump into God's Word, because you didn't come to hear, you came to hear what He would have for you today. And I want to begin. I'm going to do a twofold challenge, and I'll be brief. I promise I'll be quick. If you listen well, I'll fly fast, okay? Is that all right? So I want to do a brief challenge to you, Pastor Josh, and then I want to do a brief challenge to you as a church family. So we'll see if we can accomplish both of those this morning. The first thing in the charge that I want to give to you, Pastor Josh, and I saw the sincerity of the brokenness that you began to when you talked with affection for this church family, and I believe that's legitimate and real. And I encourage you always to continue to pray over, cry over, love this, and that's my first point for you, is love the people of faith community. Love the people of faith community. In John chapter 10, Jesus said these words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." You're not a hired hand, Pastor John. You are an under-shepherd, as you correctly stated, but you are not a hired hand. The hired hand sees difficulty coming and says, "You know, I don't know that I signed up for all that grief. I'm out of here." But not the shepherd. The shepherd is willing, as you heard Jesus say twice, is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. I can think of no greater sacrifice, like God's word says, there's no greater love than one lay down his life for another. And Pastor Josh, you cannot love this people enough. And if you love them you ask God to give you that love for them that He has for them, you won't go wrong in loving the people. In verses 13 to 15, it says again, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." A question that I like to ask people is, you say you know God. Does Jesus know you? Because he says here, "I know my sheep." There's a lot of people, I would bet you a Dr. Pepper, you could go all over Wapaka and ask people if they believe there's a God. They'd say, "Oh, of course I believe there's a God." Then if you were to ask them, "Does Jesus know you?" They might become a little bit tongue-tied. And yet God's word says, "I know my sheep." And then he goes on to say, "And they know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay," there it is again, the third time, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Well, the good shepherd knows his sheep. Now, the thing you need to know about sheep, they sometimes bite, you know, but they're good. I mean, they just need leadership. And God has given us sheep to lead, and a friend of mine said, "You know, my responsibility as a good shepherd is to feed the sheep, and then once a year I shear them." Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if I would subscribe to that. I don't think so. But in Acts 20, verse 28, it says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he ordained with his own blood. Bob Moorhead, author of The Growth Factor, had this to say about pastoral ministry, Pastor Joss. He said this: "Give us, God, men ribbed with the steel of your Holy Spirit, men who will not flinch when the battle's fiercest, men who won't acquiesce or compromise or fade when the enemy rages. God, give us shepherds who can't be bought, bartered, or badgered by the enemy. Shepherds who will pay the price, make sacrifice, stand the ground, and hold the torch high. God, give us shepherds obsessed with the principles true to your word, men stripped of self-seeking and a yearn for security, men who will pay any price for freedom and go any lengths for truth. God, give us shepherds delivered from mediocrity, shepherds with high vision, pride that is low, faith that is wide, love that is deep, and patience that is long. God, give us shepherds who dare to march to the drumbeat of a distant drummer, shepherds who will not surrender principles of truth in order to accommodate their peers. God, give us shepherds more interested in scars than medals, more committed to conviction than convenience, shepherds who will give their life for the eternal instead of indulging their lives for a moment in time. God, give us shepherds who are fearless in the face of danger, calm during pressure, bold amid opposition. God, give us shepherds who will pray earnestly, work long, preach clearly, and wait patiently. God, give us shepherds who walk, their walk is by faith, their behavior is by principle, their dreams are in heaven, their book is the Bible, God's word. And God, give us shepherds who are equal to the task. Those are the shepherds the church needs today." And I would say amen and amen to that. And that's the type of shepherd we're praying that God will make you. And I appreciate your humility, Pastor Josh, to say that in and of you, that's not where the strength and everything comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit and God's word and the leaders of you that will be surrounding you. And I'm so excited for how God's going to help you to love these dear people. Second thing that I would encourage you, Pastor Josh, not only love the people of faith community, but lead the people of faith community. Leaders are needed. I meet some people sometimes and they say, "You know, John, I'm a leader." And my first question to them is, "Well, who's following you?" Because some are just out on a walk by themselves. I just got to be honest with you. And yet leaders lead. And it's a high responsibility and calling. And to lead, God has called you to help lead this church family, to lead faith community. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, it says, "And he," that's Jesus Christ, "gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." So as you lead, Pastor Josh, 10 things that I think will help you in your pastoral leadership. This comes from Warren Wiersbe, who is one of my favorite all-time pastors. Warren Wiersbe said these 10 things. He said, "The foundation of ministry is character." And that is so true. We've watched the last 24 months nationally known pastors who've fallen because of a breach in character. And character is so important. "The nature of ministry is service. The motive of ministry is love. The measure of ministry is sacrifice. The authority of ministry comes from submission. The purpose of ministry is all for the glory of God." That's the purpose of ministry. It's all for God's glory. "The tools for ministry are the Word of God, prayer. The privilege of ministry is growth. The power for the ministry comes from none other than the Holy Spirit. And the model for ministry is the person of Jesus Christ, the perfect shepherd who was willing to lay down his life for the sheep." In 1 Peter 5, verse 2, it says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." So Pastor Josh, love this church family, love faith community, and lead them well. Now, faith community, not letting you off the hook, I've got 3 things for you. How's that sound, okay? 3 quick things. Everybody be writing these down, and I'm sure you'll follow through on these. So, faith community, I'm going to encourage you to follow and encourage Pastor Josh. First of all, follow his leadership. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." So, indeed, you know what? I jumped out. I'm out of sequence here. I apologize. We'll just say that one first anyway, okay? All right? You did very well following me, and I got my notes switched this page here, so that was, all of a sudden I'm seeing a two, and I said, where did one go? And it's on the other side of my page. That's where it is. So we'll go ahead and say that's number one. Follow Pastor Josh's leadership, and then we'll skip back to the real number one. The real number one is to pray regularly for Pastor Josh. You want a better pastor? Ask God to make the pastor that he's given you a better shepherd. One of the best things that you can do is pray for Pastor Josh and for Ashley. Now, let's make sure we're all spelling pray right. It's P-R-A-Y, not P-R-E-Y, right? Let's make sure so much can be turned with just one letter, can it? P-R-A-Y. Pray regularly. One of the best things that you can do for your pastor and for his dear wife is to pray for them. In 1 Samuel, we have this scene where Samuel is addressing the children of Israel, and it's towards the end of his ministry, and he says this in 1 Samuel 12:20-24. He says, "Do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty." Then he says in verses 23 and 24, "Moreover, as for me," and he's talking to the people of Israel, he says, "far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you." He considered it sin not to be praying for the people. "And I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart and consider what great things he's done for you." May I give you a quick acrostic, P-A-S-T-O-R? Now, I don't know if you're making a list for Walmart or if you're actually writing this down, but if you write P-A-S-T-O-R, let me tell you quickly some things that you can pray specifically for Pastor Josh, if you would. First of all, P, pray for his purity. Pray that he will remain pure. A, adversity. Now, you're not asking God for adversity. You're praying for Pastor Josh to be able to confront adversity with faith and with endurance. Purity, adversity. S, pray for strength, that God will give him the strength that he needs in the ministry. T, pray for his teaching. Pray for Pastor Josh that his teaching and his preaching will come from God's word, and that he will be filled with God's spirit every week when you stand up here and you have the opportunity to open the word of God. Pray that God will speak through his word and through his messenger. Purity, adversity, strength, teaching. Organization, a word I just absolutely love. Necessary, don't love it. Organization, pray for Pastor Josh's organization. Your pastor has more to do, and your pastors, Pastor Dave, others here have more than any one person can handle, but pray for those organizational things and that God will bring people, the right people around. And then rest. And I know he's just starting, but pray for rest, that he'll be able to rest in the midst of this time. It's a busy time moving up here, the family coming up here, and Christmas and everything. And just pray for that it'll be a restful time during his ministry, that he'll receive rest. He needs rest. Pray that he will have rest in times of rest and relaxation with his dear family. And then in verse 22, remember it says, "His namesake, because he has pleased the Lord to make you a people himself, for the Lord will not forsake his people." And God desires to have you be a church family that prays for your pastor. So follow his leadership, pray for him, and then finally provide encouragement. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. You know, when I have opportunity to speak at men's conferences, which happens usually probably once or twice a year, I get an opportunity, and I'm kind of a one-trick pony. I always talk about this in the life of men. I say you need three types of people in your life. Every person needs an Apostle Paul, somebody who's building into us, who's discipling us. We have to have someone who's building into us. At all different stages of life, I praise the Lord for the mentors who've been the Apostle Paul in my life, and I have a number of them today, and I'm so thankful for them. And then every one of us needs a Timothy. Not only do we need to be receiving from someone like a Paul, a mentor, but we need to be, what we're receiving, we need to be taking that information, that truth, and that life, and investing it in other people. So you need a Paul that you're receiving from, a Timothy that you're investing in, and then get as many Barnabases as you can find. Barnabas' main name means son of encouragement. And Barnabas was an encourager. And I'm telling you what, you need as many encouragers as you can find in this world. So find a bunch of Barnabases who can be of encouragement to you. Not people who just blow smoke, but people who have legitimate gift of encouragement to be able to encourage you. Now, I'm just going to ask you a quick question. What is your birthday, Ashley? Did everybody hear that? May 24th is your new pastor's wife's birthday. Is everybody writing that down? May 24, okay? May 24. You've got a few months for that to come, all right? 6 months almost. And Pastor Josh, when is your birthday? Oh, my word. There's a twofer opportunity. May 21 and May 24. You guys wrote those down. Pastor Josh's birthday is May 21. Ashley's is May 24. And I'll ask you, Ashley, when is your anniversary? Oh, no hesitation. You all did not. It was because I put her on the spot. You know, but together you answered that so well. June 7. June 7, and how many years will it be this year? 7. Oh, what a great 7 years. June 7, you can remember that. And when's Eli's birthday? May 3rd. Oh, you guys have this this May-June thing going. May 3rd is Eli's birthday. May 3rd. So you wrote those down. Little pieces of encouragement mean so much. This next year will be my 30th year of vocational ministry. I've got several boxes at home of cards and of letters. And every once in a while, when I'm listening to the wrong whispers in my head, when I receive a phone call that says, you know, you're not doing too well in this area, or I receive an email that says, you know, you really muffed that up, buddy. I'll pull those out, and I'll read, and I'll be encouraged of stories of people that by God's grace I was privileged to walk alongside. I was telling the guys a couple weeks ago, I was in church, and I was attending Highland Community Church, my home church in Wausau, when I'm not out. And after the service, a gal came running up to me and gave me this big hug, and she said, Pastor John, 26 years ago, you became my youth pastor, and God has changed the trajectory of my life because of you. Friends, that type of encouragement is jet fuel. I'm telling you what, I went back to my wife who was working in the nursery, and I said, guess what Christina said to me today? And then she said, you know, and notes of encouragement, birthday cards, anniversary cards, June 7th, got that. And those are special things that you can do to be of encouragement. Now, if you have some constructive criticism, let me just say this. Never give pastor a constructive criticism on a Monday. We're most vulnerable on Mondays. Stay away from Mondays. Especially give encouragement on Monday. And it is interesting how little children even listen. Story of a little boy who was in church on Sunday, heard the pastor preach, and that later that week he was laying on the couch on his side, and the message had been about how God had created Eve out of one of Adam's ribs. And he's laying on the couch, and his mom notices him and says, son, what's the matter? And the little boy looked with all the sincerity in the world at his mother and said, I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife. Little ones listen. They don't always get it right, but even they listen and can write a word of encouragement to Pastor Josh as they hear a message. Love each other. My last senior pastorate, just under 10 years, and the honeymoon never ended. This last week, these guys were at breakfast with me, and two of my elders came over and gave me big hugs, almost picked me up off the ground, and said, "We miss you and we love you. I'm praying that you have a honeymoon here every day, every month, every year that God has you serving here. And I'm praying that for you too, dear church family, that you have a honeymoon. As you follow leadership, as you provide leadership, as you love one another, as you pray for each other, and as you mutually encourage each other, God will give you that honeymoon that will go on and on and on. And one of the most powerful things that will happen is people in Waupaca will say, you know, there's something special up at Faith Community. Those people actually not only like each other, they love each other. And Jesus said, by this, everyone's going to know you belong to me by your love for one another. How I pray that for this dear church family. If we could invite you up here one more time, Pastor Josh and Ashley, we have something we want to give you, and I'll invite the worship team to come up too. This is a tradition that didn't start with me. I think it started with Ken Moberg. Is that right, Rob? Rob's our resident historian. Good. Thank you, Jordan. Now, this is a shepherd's staff. And the purpose of this isn't to beat. It's to feed and lead here, okay? No beatings. You've seen the sign in the office that says, beatings will continue until morale improves. You know, and no. 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 One more time. No. This says, shepherd the flock of God. And this is from 1 Peter 5, to that verse. And we just, as a tradition, we give this when we have new pastors that come into our district to remind of the role of a shepherd and the good shepherd. And so we give this as a gift to you and pray that God will make you the shepherd that he desires you to be. And I appreciate your humility and that God will use you both dearly here. Let me pray and then we'll sing together. You've listened so well. Thank you. Father, I thank you today for your grace, for the freedom that comes in Jesus. Thank you for this special day in the life of Faith Community and in the life of the Nelson family. God, I pray for your protection. God, I pray for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for encouragement for this church family and this pastor and the other pastors and leaders that are part of this church family. God, may this be a place that is known by its love for you, for the scriptures, and for one another. And we pray, God, that you will be honored and glorified through the lives of all who call Faith Community home. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
If you are able to join us in standing and singing this last song of Cornerstone about Christ being that rock in our life.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, we make strong. Savior's love through the storm, seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the same.
Thank you for that. Because of Jesus' blood, you see us as faultless. Yet, Lord, we know that we sin. And Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we may be molded, transformed into the image of your Son. And Father, as we go out today and then continue in our fellowship, continue in our worship of you, Lord, may you be pleased. May you be blessed. Lord, may it be a fragrant offering before your throne. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.